MSO News, giving voice to the North Shore. This is North Shore Today for Tuesday, June 11, 2024, brought to you by Moynihan Lumber. Moynihan Lumber, supporting local news coverage and communities on the North Shore. I'm Rick Moore. Gloucester has a new CFO. The Lynn Fire Department will be adding some new trucks, and the MBTA budget deficit highlighted in new report.
I'm Bill Newell, and later in sports, we have a lot of tournament information to share with you soon. Rick?
Looking forward to it. Thanks, Bill. Mix of clouds and sun near 70, high tide, Gloucester Harbor, 3:56 p.m. The driver who caused a fiery car crash in December 2022 that killed Luke Simpson of Rockport and three of his Maine Maritime classmates has been sentenced to prison for 3 years. The report in today's Salem News states that Joshua Goncalves Redding of North Babylon, New York, was drunk while driving at speeds of over 100 miles an hour. The accident took place in coastal Maine. Simpson was a member of the Rockport High School class of 2020, where he was an honor student, and he also played hockey there. Gloucester has a new chief financial officer. Ethan Foreman reports in today's Gloucester Times that Connor McCorkle has been named to that position by Mayor Greg Verga. McCorkle is taking over from John Dunn, who died in March. The City Council is expected to vote on that appointment tonight. Lynn Fire Department will be adding some new equipment in the months ahead. Lynn Fire Chief Daniel Sullivan explains what is on order, and he points out a shortage in ladder trucks.
As you know, we have four engines on order. I'm happy to say two of them have shipped from Florida and are here in North Attleboro, where the customization is taking place currently. That should take about 5 weeks total, so I expect to see the first two in service by the second week in July. The remaining two are expected sometime this fall. We're working with the vendor in the city on the purchase of a new ladder truck. If approved, this ladder is expected to be delivered at the end of 2025. This is important for two reasons. First, ladders normally take over 3 years to build, and this one we're going to receive in about a year and a half. Right now, we are borrowing a ladder from Peabody. We have two ladders that are broke at this time. All of the surrounding communities are also having the same challenges with ladders, so getting another one to the area is a paramount. There just aren't any ladders.
That is Lynn Fire Chief Daniel Sullivan. We'll feature much more information on the Lynn Fire Department with the chief in North Shore Today Extra. Lynn's City Council will be holding a public hearing on its fiscal year 25 budget tonight. In Newburyport, the department budget hearings continue tonight also. Here is Newburyport Mayor Sean Reardon.
So we are four budget hearings in. We've got four out of the way. We've got four to go, so we're halfway there. Some big departments still left to talk about in these budget hearings. We have DPS, so that's parks, that's highway, that's water, that's sewer. We have sustainability, we have social services, like Newburyport Rec, Recreation and Youth Services, we have public safety, like police, fire, harbor master, health. So all these things still have to come up through council. And again, these are public hearings. They're happening on Tuesday. It's going to be on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And those run from 6 to 8 p.m.
Reardon was speaking on his Mayor's Corner podcast. And the MBTA is expecting to run at a deficit of $700 million. Salem News State House reporter Christian Wade reports that an independent watchdog group is warning of terrible options if the T does not take steps to deal with the issue. The report cites that MBTA ridership has not returned to pre-pandemic levels and that ridership levels are not expected to increase anytime soon. Sports next with Bill Newell, followed by North Shore Today Extra, featuring Lynn Fire Chief Daniel Sullivan.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Yes, we are a full-service lumber yard, but we also offer doors and windows and kitchen cabinets. Please visit us in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Taparo Capital Management. It's time to craft your retirement plan. Click on the Taparo banner at the top right of our website and begin creating your winning game plan.
If you're a soap bar user and you're always annoyed by the fact that when you use your entire bar, you're stuck with this little sliver of soap that you don't know what to do with, hold on, because I think I have the solution for you. It's always a pain to have that little sliver of soap that we didn't really know how to use but didn't want to waste and throw away. So we invented this cute cube-shaped soap bar that then you can place your old little soap sliver right into. There's a carved out X in the center of the bar that then you can place your old soap sliver into. You just break up that little sliver into pieces that are two or three and it fits right inside. And bam, now you've got a brand new soap bar and you didn't have to waste anything. If that's something you're interested in and you want to support a sustainable small business, then head on over to our shop at exobath.com. You can buy one for yourself or give it as a gift. It ships anywhere in the United States, and you can get 20% off your first order.
Click on to the ExoBath banner at the top of our website. This is MSO Sports, bringing voice to the North Shore. The Red Sox and Celtics were both off last night. The Red Sox open up a series tonight at Fenway Park against the Phillies. The Celtics are in Dallas. They'll take on the Mavericks in the NBA Finals tomorrow night. It's Game 3. Celtics lead that series 2-0. And be sure to check out Nick Giannino, the sports editor of the Gloucester Times. He's headed out to Dallas today to cover tomorrow night's game and also, of course, Game 4 later this week in Dallas. We have an interview with Nick up on our website. Let's get to the tournament action, and let's go to the action from yesterday. Girls lacrosse, Newburyport beat Hanover 19-5 yesterday, while Ipswich was a 12-11 winner over Weston. This is Ipswich coach Allison Tivnan.
It was awesome. I mean, we came out, we wanted it. You know, they scored first, but then we scored five in a row in that first quarter, which was awesome. Like, really, really came out firing. But then the second quarter was tough. We were scoreless in the second quarter, and I'm pretty sure that was has been the only time we've been scoreless all year. So that was the tough half for us, for sure. But then we came out and, you know, battled back and forth in the third. And then we were still down one, and then heading into the fourth, down one. And they scored three in a row, which is tough. So we were down three, and then came back and, you know, down three with, I think, 7 minutes left and scored four in a row. To come back win is just outstanding. It was awesome.
Coach Tivnan talking with our own Rick Moore last night here on the website. Complete interview with her up on our website as well. Boys tennis from yesterday, D1, St. John's Prep wins over Lexington 4-1. They're headed to the state finals, while Bedford in D3 knocked out Swampscott 5-0 in a Final Four matchup. Now let's talk about taking on number one teams. The Salem High baseball team in D4 baseball will take on Seekonk this afternoon at BC High at UMass Boston. Now, Salem is the number 24 seed. Seekonk is the number 4 seed. But earlier in this tournament over the weekend, Salem knocked off number 1 Linfield. Salem coach Matt Hubauer on that big win.
It's about game plan, not trying to do too much. Plan locked in, defense, being focused when we need to be focused, clutch hits. Honestly, the guys take all the credit, you know. It's a 3-1 game going into the fourth. We get the bases loaded, back-to-back doubles. Rocco has a clutch seventh inning. Riley's shown why he's one of the best pitchers in Massachusetts, in my opinion. Another six innings complete in the playoffs this year. It was just about locking in, playing our game, not trying to do too much. And accepting the challenge, knowing that they were a higher seed than us. Maybe on paper they're a better team than us, but we have a lot of heart, and I think that really shows.
Salem coach Matt Hubauer against Salem baseball playing today. Now another team playing a number one seed is the Swampscott boys lacrosse team. They'll take on Nantucket this afternoon at 3 at Weymouth. This is the D4 boys lacrosse tournament. Coach Jeff Beckett taking on a number one team.
They've got a lot of talent. You know, they've got a great midfielder, a couple great attackmen, a great faceoff, great D, great goalie. So there's not a lot of weaknesses in there. And what's great is I don't think we have a lot of weaknesses either. If anything, between the two of us, it's our bench gets a little thin once you get past the, you know, those, you know, 13 to 14 guys. Nothing against our guys. We're just young. We're a smaller school, and so are they. They're young with a smaller school, so there's only, you can't get, you know, 18, 20 guys that can all ball the whole time. So it's going to be, you know, come down to discipline and come down to staying smart and not emptying the gas too soon and see what we can do.
Swampscott boys lacrosse coach Jeff Beckett. Marblehead and Georgetown softball teams are in playoff action today. The St. John's Prep boys lacrosse team in action today in a state semifinal game against BC High at Burlington High School. Other baseball notes, St. Mary's in D3 takes on Tantasqua
at La Lasser Park in Lowell this afternoon at 4, while Georgetown takes on Pioneer Valley at 7 o'clock tonight at Fitton Field at Holy Cross in the D5 state semifinal game. Georgetown coach Phil Desolets.
Certainly think that, you know, we're where we expected us to be right now. You know, talking about the tournament, you know, getting to the Final Four with a chance to, you know, finish this thing off. You know, record-wise, I really don't go into the season, you know, doing the old look at the record, check off win, loss, what do I think, you know. Record-wise, you know, it is, when you look at it, it's like, wow, you know.
Yeah.
Been quite a ride.
Coach Desolets talking with our own Rick Moore last night. And be sure to check out our MIAA posts with all the game scores and schedules, as well as the brackets if you want to go back and check up on things and details on the different divisions in the MIAA playoffs this spring. That should do it for us. That's sports. This is North Shore Today, giving voice to the North Shore, the area's only daily news and sports podcast. Along with Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell, hoping you have a great Tuesday. North Shore Today Extra is next with Daniel Sullivan from the Lynn Fire Department. Taparo Capital Management. It's time to craft your retirement plan. Click on the Taparo banner at the top right of our website and begin creating your winning game plan. This is North Shore Today Extra. Today we're going to be hearing from Lynn Fire Chief Daniel Sullivan with some updates from the Lynn Fire Department, some developments that I think that communities all around, residents from all around the North Shore might find interesting. That includes a discussion on last summer's fires in Lynn Woods and a lot more, but they were in the context of last week's City Council budget hearing on the fire department. So without any further ado, again, the council meeting was led by Councilor at Large Brian LaPierre. This is Chief Daniel Sullivan from the Lynn Fire Department.
All right, I want to thank everyone, Mayor Nicholson, Mr. Bertino, Mr. Spencer, and all of your staff. I'd also like to thank our internal employees who helped us develop this year's budget. So from the fire side, as you know, we were asked to prepare a budget as fiscally responsible as possible, and I believe we did that. This left us with the budget proposal you see in front of you. We had 7 recruits graduate the Mass Fire Academy on May 10th, and we're in the process of hiring 3 more as we speak. This will get us back to our complement of 180 firefighters, which should reduce some of our overtime costs. We transitioned in the beginning of the year to a new software package called First Do, which you approved last year. And as we bring on new modules in the future, I expect we'll be able to save the city even more money while also allowing our department to run more efficiently. As you know, we have 4 engines on order. I'm happy to say 2 of them have shipped from Florida and are here in North Attleboro, where the customization is taking place currently. That should take about 5 weeks total, so I expect to see the first 2 in service by the second week in July. The remaining 2 are expected sometime this fall. We're working with the vendor in the city on the purchase of a new ladder truck. If approved, this ladder is expected to be delivered at the end of 2025. This is important for 2 reasons. First, ladders normally take over 3 years to build, and this one we're going to receive in about a year and a half. Right now we are borrowing a ladder from Peabody. We have 2 ladders that are broke at this time. All of the surrounding communities are also having the same challenges with ladders, so getting another one to the area is a paramount. There just aren't any ladders. So, secondly, the EPA is changing their regulations in 2026, and we'd like to make sure we stay with proven technology as opposed to chancing a new engine design. This budget will also provide for more safety for our firefighters. One example would be the purchase of a new command board. This command board will give the incident commander more ability to track people and resources, so if there is an emergency, such as a building collapse or lost firefighter, we'll know where everyone is located and who is best to start the rescue and if everyone got out safely. Another aspect of safety this contract will provide is the reduction in the chance of contracting occupational cancer. Our gear has been proven to contain PFAS, which is linked to cancer. Just this year, the manufacturers have made the claim they've developed turnout gear that they claim are PFAS-free. Our goal is to slowly replace all of our sets of turnout gear over the next few years, and also create systems to reduce the time our people spend inside of that turnout gear. I'll touch quickly on fire alarm since it's a separate budget before the question. So fire alarm hasn't changed much since last year. We did, however, have one operator leave, bringing us down to 11 operators. We haven't replaced that operator yet. However, we're working with the personnel department to establish a new civil service list. So with proper advertisement, we'll hopefully be able to attract a Lynn resident. So what happened in these past few years, trying to hire a fire alarm operator, we've exhausted even the statewide list. No one was signing the list. So we'd like to wait for a new civil service list to come out and hopefully attract a Lynn resident. So in closing, I'd like to thank all involved in helping us prepare this year's budget, and I look forward to your support.
Thank you, Chief. Questions for the Chief? Yes, Councilor Meany.
How are you doing today, Chief?
Hey, how are you? So I'm just looking over your mission statement here and a couple items in your budget. Could you elaborate on what primetime expense is? You're spending about $350,000 this year on it.
Primetime is holiday pay. It's holiday. It's how they term it.
Okay. And then, so I was reading your mission statement here. It says one of your goals and objectives is to, quote, maintain a high level of safety for all of our firefighters. And then I look at the budget, and I'm looking at a 15% decrease in personal protective equipment. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, so going back to the turnout gear, so when we were preparing this budget, the manufacturers had not come out with this PFAS-free gear. So for the past few years, we've been budgeted for 40 sets of turnout gear. So we reduced that number initially, but now the claims have come out that there is the PFAS-free gear. But in our discussions throughout the state, they're not 100% sold on the manufacturer yet. So we're going to have some discussions on using that money, if not for specific turnout gear, alternative means of keeping our people, reducing the time that they spend in their gear, if that makes sense.
It does. I just wanted to really ensure that, like, we are looking after the safety of our members of the fire department. I mean, cutting personal protective gear, granted we didn't know what the nuances of it, but that's pretty glaring. And then I have just another question on your mission statement. One of the things we talked about together was data collection and improvement. Would that be why the computer services have increased 20%? Are you making a vested effort in trying to improve our data collection and record keeping?
Yeah, so that first due software. So one of the downfalls of moving to this new software is payroll calculations. So our office and the CFO's office have been working every week to make sure that our people get paid appropriately. This new software program has additional modules that we're bringing on as we're rolling it out slowly. So right now we're doing incident tracking and capital tracking. So we haven't gotten down into the items like the axes, the Halligans, all that stuff. We're also looking into getting a fire investigation module and a potentially moving into an EMS module. So we use a separate program for EMS. So if we can move that into this one, as long as it works with the state, we'll save the city even more money.
And then just one last question. At any point during the last fiscal year, was the possibility of Engine 11 being reinstated brought up?
We're always looking to improve coverage throughout the city.
Thank you, Chief.
Thank you, Councilor. Councilor Field?
Thank you, Chairman LaPierre. Thanks, Chief. I have three questions. As far as the turnout gear that you talked about, what is the lifespan of the current turnout gear, and what's the expected lifespan of new turnout gear, just to educate?
So currently, the lifespan is 10 years. However, there are new OSHA regulations that are coming out. All projections are, is the new lifespan, according to OSHA, is going to be 5 years. They're in public comment section right now. I hear they want to move this OSHA regulation. It's 192.156, I think. So there's some significant changes that OSHA is going to present to us. We have a team that's going through the projected regulation right now to make sure that we get ahead of it. We've already had some discussions with the mayor's office and the CFO's office on those changes as well.
Okay, now, as far as budget for that turnout gear, you said 40. Your goal is for 40.
Currently, so when the
from the budget, or is that through grants or both?
That's through the budget.
Okay, and there's
so
grants for that too, or no?
The whole country is going to have to change turnout gear, so the country is going to have to help somehow with that.
Sure. Second question. I know you and I discussed. I know last year with the forest fires, now there's a new regional partnership. Can you discuss how that affects the budget?
Yeah, so the state fire warden reached out to us a few months ago, and he was able to get us a $75,000 grant to improve firefighting capabilities in Lynn Woods. Pretty open to what we could do with it. So we worked with DCR, we worked with the Ranger Dan Small, and other members of the state. We also brought in Linfield in Saugus as well to continue the discussions. So for this $75,000, it's not really a lot of money. We're figuring we're going to improve Ox Pasture Road. It's pretty tough to get any of the vehicles out that way. So that would be fixing some of those tricky spots and widening the road so that we could have back to the original road. The hope is, why we brought in Saugus and Linfield, is to treat it like one ecosystem, us, Breakheart, and parts of Linfield. And if that works out, next year we're looking at a potential $500,000 to improve firefighting in those areas. And that would be, you know, widening the fire roads, some of the single tracks. So without taking up too much of your time, I think it's important to know. So the first fire that we had, I forget the date, it was a Friday afternoon, the first fire we had, we had every firefighter in Lynn up in Ward 1 there protecting the houses. We had a couple mutual aid companies that came in, and we were able to, I initially thought it was only 20 houses, but it was closer to 60 houses that we believe we saved with that. The 2 or 3 days later, we had another fire up by Stone Tower, and then a day later we had another fire down by the reservoir. That last fire was the largest of the three, and we were able to contain it with three firefighters. Why? Because of knowledge of the woods, knowledge of the trail systems, and we just had them contain it. So in one case, we had houses at risk. You know, we're going to do everything we can there. And then where there's no houses at risk, fire is a good thing for the woods. It replenishes the wildlife. It replenishes the vegetation. But we can't have that where there's houses.
Thank you. And my final question, how is traveling outside of the city for medical aids to Salem Hospital and other surrounding hospitals affecting the budget over this last fiscal year and into the new one?
Yeah, so time getting our people back in service, certainly is, you know, our turnaround rate. So if our people are out of service, then there's less chance of bringing in money for recouping those costs.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Chief Sullivan?
I just got one comment.
Councilor Hogan.
2 weeks ago in Ward 6, we had a major gas leak, and your guys responded tremendously, and I just want to publicly thank you and your guys for holding down that whole neighborhood. That everyone was pretty scared, because that was a pretty loud gas leak that could have really impacted a whole neighbor, and you came to the scene under your circumstances that you were going through, and I really want to thank you and your guys for that. So thank you.
Sorry, Chief.
Yes, Councilor McLean, then Councilor Ellingson.
I just wanted to make sure I heard correctly, because I'm seeing that most of your most of the time that you guys leave the firehouses, you're leaving for medical and service calls. So I just wanted to make sure I heard you right, that there's an EMS separate from the ladders and fire trucks that you guys have?
So we have 6 engines, 3 ladders, and 1 ambulance. So that 1 ambulance, is a paramedic level ambulance. So they're able to start IVs, use defibrillators for, heart attacks and such. So when they have to transport, they'll transport to Salem Hospital or Mass General. And, that turnaround time before they can get back in service to answer another call is what Councilor Field was talking about. Excuse me. We are we are backed up by Cataldo Ambulance. They staff 3 BLS, which is basic life support, and 1 ALS unit as well.
Okay, and I see some of the free cash was requested for the compression units and cardiac monitors and things like that. So
yeah, so that's one of our capital requests. So that's 2. The manufacturer is called Lucas, so it's a compression device. So if someone, it's a CPR assist device. So American Heart Association, when they're teaching CPR, you have to be perfect, otherwise the chance of survival is not obviously as good. These CPR assist devices are compression. It's a mechanical device that does CPR, and it does it perfect. So the first year that we got these, we got 1, and our save rate was doubled. So it truly saves lives.
Mm. All right, thank you.
Yeah.
Lynn Fire Chief Daniel Sullivan with his budget presentation last week at the Lynn City Council meeting, chaired by Councilor-at-Large Brian LaPierre. The Lynn City Council will be holding a Council of the Whole budget hearing tonight at Lynn City Hall. But again, Chief Daniel Sullivan from the Lynn Fire Department. This is North Shore Today Extra, with extended audio coverage of North Shore events and people, giving voice to the North Shore. And a special thanks to LynnTV.org, which has this entire meeting on demand on their website, LynnTV.org. MSONewsSports.com.